right, good morning to you. I hope you're warm today. I think it's pretty warm in here. I'm sure you're wondering, what in the world's Pastor John got in his hand this morning? You know, we're going to start on a journey for the next 4 weeks talking about the ordinariness of bread. You know, bread is an ordinary thing, right? Bread is a staple all over the world. And, you know, here in America, you know, what are we famous for? Sliced bread. But, you know, the French are famous for croissants. Who'd like a croissant? You want a croissant here? I got some croissants. If you were brave enough to sit close in church this morning, I'll share a croissant with you. Anybody else? Yeah. Help yourself here. Anybody want one? Here you go. Yeah.
Thank you.
You look famished. You know? Anybody else? A little croissant? Anybody? You know, when you think about bread in the Bible, you know, Jesus said for us to pray, Lord, give us this day what? Our daily bread. It's amazing when you look at bread in the Bible because, you know, one of the really cool things, every time you see bread in the hands of Jesus, it was a miraculous thing. You know, think about it. I'm sorry, I wanted you. When Jesus had bread in his hand, think about this. And we're going to look at this morning and in the weeks to come too. When Jesus took bread, it always was the same. He gave thanks. He broke it. And then he gave it. Come on, Esther. Come on, I know you want one. Right? You know, on the night that he was betrayed even, when he instituted the Lord's Supper. Well, here, we got a whole row here, we got one. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, what did he do? He took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and then he gave it away. That is incredible when you think about what Jesus did with, no one? There you go. My hands are clean too. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody? Come on, guys. Yeah, you guys. Teenagers never turn down the bread. Okay. Yeah. You know, think about this. I think this is a beautiful thing. When you look in the Bible, every time Jesus touched bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and then he gave it away. Think about what a staple bread is in our society. And really not just in our society, but almost in every society. Like I said, you know, the French have the croissants. I was in Ethiopia a few years ago. They had what's called injera, which is basically this flat bread that they use as a utensil. They tear a piece of it off, and then they use that piece of bread to get something to eat, to dip it in something that's on the table, and then they eat it. Bread is an amazing thing. It is so common. Is there anything more common than bread? But here's the thing, folks. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at how bread is a metaphor for life. How bread is a metaphor for life. And even how bread is a metaphor for our individual lives. Because here's the thing. You know, we talk about how ordinary bread is. Don't we think of our lives that way too? That our lives are ordinary. We get up in the morning. We go through a routine. We go to work. We work. We put in our time. We go home. We cart the kids here or there. We play at our hobbies. You know, whatever. Life is just an ongoing sequence of very ordinary things. But here's the thing, folks. Like bread, life is really not ordinary. Because when we see ourselves in the hands of the Savior, we can see how really special we are. Now, maybe you've settled for a life that that seems ordinary to you or looks ordinary to the outside world. Maybe you're living that way. Maybe you're grasping or grappling for something that will help you feel like that you have meaning or purpose. Maybe you're wrestling with an unkind voice in your mind trying to convince you that you really don't matter, that you're less than, that you are never enough. But listen, folks, in the hands of Jesus, we are like bread. Nothing seems any more common, but yet Jesus did some amazing things when it came to bread. Let's look at one of them here this morning. Luke chapter 9, there's this beautiful story about Jesus and an encounter that he had with bread. I'm going to start reading in verse number 10. I'm going to read quite a few verses over the course of the next few minutes. So I don't have it up on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, you can turn there and you can read along with me. It's a pretty amazing story. Here's what it says, Luke 9, verse 10. It says, when the apostles returned, they described for Jesus what they had done. Taking them with him, Jesus withdrew privately to a city called Bethsaida. When the crowds figured it out, they followed him. He welcomed them, spoke to them about God's kingdom, and healed those who were sick. When the day was almost over, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so that they can go to the nearby villages and countryside and find lodging and food because we are in a deserted place. Now think about that, folks. When you read that part of the scriptures, there's several things jump out at me. Number one, that jumps out at me is just how the needs of the people were overwhelming. You feel that way? You know, yesterday I was, 2 days ago, I was driving into one of the shopping centers over on the other side of town, and there was a gentleman standing there. He had a backpack on, and you could tell he was traveling, and he had a sign that said, I'm in need. And it was amazing because a little while later, I wasn't there very long, but when I left, he wasn't there, but there was another person there, a different person there. You say, oh, John, it had to be the same person. No. The first one was a man. The second time was clearly a woman, only 10 or 15 minutes apart, and, I don't know, maybe they worked together, but there was two different people. I mean, do you ever feel that way? You're just looking around at the world and everybody seems so needy, so overwhelming, and so much like the disciples. Sometimes I just feel like that the resources to meet needs just isn't enough. There's not enough to go around. The people's needs are so overwhelming. The resources are in such supply. And our impulse, a lot of times, is to react just the way they did and react in a very practical nature that says, you know what? We can't do anything. We can't help. We can't make a difference. And if we're honest, this is how we need when we look at the needs of our friends, and even of strangers, of our family, of our neighbors. It just seems so overwhelming. I mean, turn the news on, you're bombarded with things that are going on around the world, tragedies, hardships. Scroll through Facebook and you'll see many posts from your family, people that you love and care about, people you went to school with, about difficulties that they're going through in life. Matter of fact, let me just illustrate this for you. Not too awful long ago, I got an invite to join a Facebook page from my high school. And it was called the Pennington Gap High School Memorial Facebook page. And if you join this page, everybody, when someone dies, and my high school doesn't exist anymore, by the way. It was one of the consolidations some years ago, so, you know, it's not even there anymore. But they made this page of memorials, and you know what, folks? I was like, yeah, that's awesome. I want to be a part of that. Man, I wish I'd never signed up for that. Every day, somebody I know, they're putting them on there that they died, my classmates, all these. And it's like, my gosh, this is so depressing. But that's life, isn't it? I mean, everybody goes through those kinds of things. And you may say that you're praying for them. You may say, I'll do what I can, but a lot of times, you know what the equivalent of the disciples' response here is today? I think it's the sad emoji. You know, I think if the disciples were alive today, they would have clicked on sad emoji. Sorry, can't feed you. Get out of here. Go somewhere else. I'm sad, but I can't help you. And Jesus here wants to teach us something so much better. And here's the really cool thing about this passage. Jesus doesn't let them off the hook. Look at verse 13. He says, Jesus replied, you give them something to eat. Well, you can't. We don't have anything for them to eat. But they said, we have no more than 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all these people. They said this because about 5,000 men were present. Now, time out just for a second here. Most scholars, most commentators will tell you that there was 5,000 men here. But if you added up everybody, it was probably closer to 13,000 people. When you added women, children, everybody that was there in this group, it was much greater than 5,000 people. But look, Jesus said to his disciples, verse 14, seat them in groups of about 50. They did so, and everyone was seated. And here you go, this is it. Jesus took 5 loaves, 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven. Blessed them. Broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. Everyone ate until they were full, and the disciples filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. Jesus blessed the bread. Jesus broke the bread. Jesus gave the bread. Listen, folks, those actions from our Lord and Savior, it's amazing. It changed the whole story. It changed the entire story. A desolate place became a place of abundance. A desert place became a banquet. A story that began with not enough ended with there being more than enough. And listen, Jesus wants to do that over and over and over again in your life and my life. The desolate place became a place of abundance. A desert place became a banquet. A story that began with not enough ended with there being more than enough. And this is what happens when Jesus takes something that's ordinary. Something that we think is ordinary that we place in His hands. You know, we learn in another gospel that this was the lunch of a small lad that was there. And that he offered his lunch to Jesus. Incredible. I think that we need to understand from this story that God can change our story too. Jesus took bread, he blessed it, he gave thanks to the Father, he broke it, and he gave it. Bread in the hands of Jesus is something so much more than ordinary. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus also said, man cannot live by bread alone. Give us this day our daily bread. We know that Jesus did some amazing things, or God did some amazing things in the Old Testament when he gave his people provision by manna from heaven, bread from heaven. That all they had to go out and gather it, and it sustained them. God is always willing to do amazing things, ordinary things that are placed in his hands. So think about this. In the hands of Jesus, your life becomes blessed. Now listen, this blessedness, it's not about accumulating, it's not about achieving, it's more about understanding your true identity, realizing your true calling in His hands. You know, that we were once sinners and now we are We are saints. Once we were far off, and now we are a cherished family member. Because we are bread in His hands, we become blessed. I mean, in His hands, your life becomes broken. Think about that. There's several different ways of thinking about and looking at brokenness. You know, we talk about we'll talk about this more in weeks to come. But there's this brokenness that comes from our frailty, from our weakness, from our limitations. There's a brokenness that comes from our own failure. You know, our sin, our participation in the wickedness of our time. And then there's this brokenness that is in the pain of living in a fallen world because of our suffering and because of our pain. But here's the thing, folks. God wants to help us with our brokenness. Because when we're like bread, when we're placed in His hands, He will thank God for it. You ever imagine that God thanking God for you? But that then we're gonna be broken, and through that brokenness, He still wants to help us and be there for us and to do wonderful things through us. You know, I know you've heard me, you know, say things about my dog Wilson. He'll be 14 years old here in just a couple of months, and you know, he's getting old. And over the last year or so, he's gotten to the point that, you know, if you laid a credit card on the ground, he couldn't jump up on top of that credit card. You know, he can't hardly walk up steps. He can't jump up on the couch. He can't get up on the bed. He can't do any of those things. He's just, he's pretty good once he gets up. But getting up, it's just tough for him. And sometimes I'll be laying in the bed, I'll be reading or something. He'll come in and he'll just lay his face on the bottom of the mattress and he'll look at me. You know, and I wish he could talk, but he can't talk. But really what he's saying is, would you help me up there? I'd like to lay down with you for a while. So I'll get off of the bed, and I'll pick his front legs up, and I'll put him up on the bed, and then I'll get under his backside, you know, and I'll pick him up, and I'll lay him up on there. Now, he can get off, but he can't get up without my help. If I'm down in the basement and we start up, you know, Kristen's dog, he just bounds up the steps, and Wilson's like a 100-year-old man trying to get up those steps one at a time. And a lot of times he'll just like fall down on the steps halfway up, and he's just laying there, and you have to pick him up and help him up. Sometimes I feel like that's kind of the way we are in the hands of God. God knows our weaknesses. God knows that we're broken. In some ways, He wants to break us so that we will depend on Him. And when you place your brokenness, your failure, your frailty, your suffering in Jesus' hands, we become open to His grace, open to His love, open to His mercy. You see, folks, brokenness is not about us wallowing in our frailty or in our pain. When the Bible talks about brokenness, what he means is he's talking about a submission to God, an understanding our place and our need for Him. To be broken is to allow the grace of God to humble us, to lead us into this place of vulnerability so that we can be transformed. And then look at this, the third thing. In the hands of Jesus, your life becomes given. In the hands of Jesus, we're like bread. He thanks God for us. We understand our brokenness. And then it says that Jesus gave this food to the people that needed it. But here's one of the most remarkable things about this story. And don't lose sight of this. It says in verse number 16 that he took the five loaves and two fish. He looked up to heaven, blessed them, broke them. And then what did he do? He gave them to the disciples and said, "You distribute it among the people." Now think about this. Was Jesus was very capable of doing the miracle of multiplication? But couldn't he also do the miracle of distribution? I mean, why is it that Jesus didn't, you know, bless this food, broke this food, and then just like, you know, bang, miraculously everybody that was there had a full plate of food in front of them? I mean, what was the significance of Jesus blessing the bread, breaking the bread, and then giving it to the disciples and said, here, you distribute it to the people? You see, that's what God does. God made human beings in His image to reflect His not only His rule of the world, but His character and His love for the world. From the beginning, God has always chosen human beings to be a part of His redemptive story. Jesus said, go into all the world and spread the gospel. You don't think Jesus could have miraculously done that? But no, He gave it to you. He gave it to me. He gave it to His disciples. And He said, you preach the gospel all over the world. You teach them what I have taught you. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You do it. Why? Because He wants us to be a part of this redemptive story. You see, they wanted to send the people away. You know, folks, I freely admit that a lot of times that's me. Send them away. But Jesus said, set them down in groups of 50. Here, watch what I do with my blessing, with my breaking. And then He gives it to us. He blesses us and takes our brokenness and turns it into something that can be good for someone else. The thing that we must not miss in this whole text is that who is the hero of this story? I mean, is it about the boy who gave up his lunch? Is it about the disciples who learned the valuable lesson? No, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, the generous host. And this text shows us from beginning to end. In verse 11, it says, when the crowds figured it out, they followed Him. He welcomed them, spoke to them about God's kingdom, and healed those who were sick. Jesus welcomed, He taught, He healed, He fed. Jesus prepares the feast that He wants us to, in turn, feed to all humanity. And here's one of the most beautiful things about this entire passage. Verse 17 says, everyone ate until they were full, and the disciples filled 12 baskets with leftovers. You see, so much of eating then was not about overindulgence. It was about getting enough to stay alive. But it seems to indicate here that Jesus gave seconds and thirds. You want more fish? You want more bread? Here it comes. You want a second helping, third helping, fourth helping? I submit to you that this was the first buffet in the history of God's people. They got all they wanted, and then there was so much left over. Here's the point, folks. That's what Jesus does. And the question is do we see it? Do we see the world as He sees it? Do we understand? Can we wonder if Jesus really saw their location as a remote and deserted place? Because you see, none of those obstacles were obstacles to Him. This is what Jesus does. This is what He invites us to be a part of. So, let's learn on this journey that we are like bread in the hands of Jesus. Something ordinary can be something so miraculous. Your ordinary can be crammed full of glory. Your not enough can become more than enough. Your everyday, our everyday, can become full of purpose. May it be so. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray today, right now, as we share this wonderful story about how we are overwhelmed by Your goodness and by Your grace. Father, may we see this ordinary thing in Scripture over and over and over again. In your hands became something miraculous. And Father, may you use us in that same way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.